Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Yesterday, we had on with us Bertha Owens, who is a young woman who has been serving a life sentence for a crime she did not commit. We live in a country right now where there is so much injustice going on, so many wrongfully convictions, and Bertha is on with us again this morning to share her story. We'd like to introduce Bertha Owens. Bertha, are you on with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Okay. I also want to introduce Madeline Colburn, who is a prisoner advocate, longtime prisoner advocate, and also a pastor. And she is going to also be on with us. She has been working with Bertha as well. So, Madeline, are you on with us as well? Hello?
It's just me here.
Okay. Well, why don't we start with you, Bertha? There might be a problem with the it's a hold time. So why don't you introduce yourself once again and let the audience know a little bit about your situation.
My name is Bertha Owens. I'm an African-American woman. I'm 61 years old, and I'm here in Vandalia, Missouri at WERDAC Women Prison. I have been incarcerated for 24 years, serving a life plus 45-year sentence for a crime that I had no knowledge of or had no part in. And I am fighting to prove my innocence so I can be released, to return back to my family.
And you have been in now for 38 years, right?
24.
I'm sorry, you were 38 years old when you went in.
Yes. I was 37, turned 38. Yes. Yeah. So I've been in for 24 years.
Okay. Now, can you just let the audience know about a little bit about the situation once again where you left off yesterday, and maybe talk more about the what's going on now in your case?
Like I said, I'm in here for a crime I did not commit, and I have been fighting to prove my innocence. All my appeals were exhausted, and so I had started writing to different organizations for help, The Byron Cave Law Firm did take my case on as pro bono due to the fact that God had given me one of the attorney's names at the law firm who I did not know. And so we made contact with him. My investigator, Charlie Snyder, made contact with them. They took it on pro bono. And one way that they take on cases pro bono, the case has to be already investigated, which this one was. And so Stephen Snodgrass did his part. And then years later, the Innocent Project ended up taking on my case after they had denied me because the Byron Cave Law Firm couldn't go any further. But they picked it back up. And so now I'm working with some people out of Lawrence, Kansas, the KUK, Paul E. Wilson Innocent Project. They have taken on this case, and so I just had a visit with them last Friday, and so to introduce ourselves so they could get familiar with who I am, and so they are working to get me free.
Great. Now, now that the audience is aware of some of these issues and some of these things that are going up, we have some callers on with us, and we'd like to have them come on. Would one of you like to speak first and introduce yourself? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, what is your name?
Hello?
Yes, what is your name?
Yes, my name is Willie Wilkes.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Willie Wilson?
And I am
Willie Wilkes.
My name is
my
Willie
cousin.
Wilkes, and I am Bertha's first cousin. Her dad is my dad's youngest brother.
Uh-huh.
And I was there at the trial. And what happened is that the young lady that they had used as supposedly the state, as state evidence, a witness, she was caught, she was caught lying. They perjured herself, 54 times during that trial. It was, I'm trying to think of the attorney.
Brad Kessler.
Brad Kessler has been working with us as well. He's now in Seattle, Washington. But he and I have been talking over the past couple of years. And I'm 70 years old. And the way that whole trial went, it was unbelievable. As a matter of fact, I have 1,200 pages of the transcript. And if anyone could read the transcript and read through all of the things that were said and done through that trial, there was no way that things should have gone the way that they did.
Okay, Mr. Wilson, Bertha will only be able to have a half an hour on with us, and we have some other callers that would like to say something too. So if you can hold just for a minute, and I'd like to hear from someone else that's on the line with us.
Yes.
Okay. We have another caller.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hello?
Hi. This is LaChrista. Ma'am?
Hello? LaChrista, were you on yesterday with us?
No, that was my friend Katrina.
Oh, okay. You have something to say?
Yes, I would like for her to point out that the petition is going to be linked to the interview.
Okay, Bertha, are you listening to her?
Yes. She was saying that she wanted the petition to be made aware of, that will be linked to the interview so people can go and listen to the interview as well as signing the petition.
Okay.
Yes.
You want again, anyone that wants to sign the petition can actually type Bertha Owens' interview on the Internet, and it will bring you to the interview we are having today, yesterday, the entire situation with Bertha Owens, and we'll bring you to the petition as well. But Bertha, you want to let them know again how they can go directly to the petition?
Oh, wow. It is so long.
Okay. Just the Bertha Owens wrongful conviction petition. And Latricia, are you the one that they were talking about that also had an experience in prison?
This is Denise. We've switched off. She has had an experience with Bertha in prison. I myself as well have. I wanted to make sure that Bertha mentions the article that was written through St. Louis Magazine by Mrs. Cooper in July 18th of last year. It goes through very detailed of the specifics of the case, and I just want people to know that it's out there and that, you know, just to get behind her and just to support this petition to just help things move. And we just want to say blessings upon her, and we love her. And it's not just that she works in that factory. She has made changes. She has helped and brought other people to the Lord and uplifted them, and she is just an amazing woman of God, and we just want people to know that, and to know that he is moving and he is calling people to move them, and we just praise him, and we just love Bertha, and we thank everyone who is just listening, and we think that the word is going forth, and just we are just moving, and we're just so grateful.
Okay, great. And I'd like to have all of you stay on the line, but right now, because Bertha has such a limited time to speak, Bertha, I'd like to have you say as much as you can while you're on with us, and then we can go back to the callers before you leave us. So is there anything else you want to let the audience know?
Well, Denise was speaking about the article that Jeanette Cooperman with the St. Louis Magazine wrote. She came into the prison and wrote my story of actually some of the things that took place. So you can Google my name and the story will pop up. So that's what she was speaking about. But I also want to point out how the DA's office, how Reverend Madeline and my cousin Willie Wilkes, along with Charlie Snyder, had went to the DA's office and spoke with the assistant who was at that time, Robert Steele, and how he was supposed to go and contact,
investigate
the false witness family, which he never did. He ended up sending me a letter saying that he could not find her, which was not any truth to it, because she still remains in the same place that she was back then, that she is right today.
We had even shared with Mr. Steele exactly where the young lady is. We gave her all of that information upon the visit that we made with him. This is a trial and a case that has no business. We have no business today even discussing something like this because, I'm 17 years old. I'm Bertha's first. I've known her all of her life. And I know that she's not even the type of person to even be involved in those type of things. But I have just been praying and asking the Lord that you all would get her free before I leave this earth.
I understand what you're saying, Mr. Wilson. And, you know, this is why we have this radio station, because there is Bertha's situation. Is injustice, as I mean, it's full of injustice, and that's what this country is all about. So we're trying to get the word out. Unfortunately, Bertha's situation is not an isolated one, and there's so many going through what she's going through, and it's really sad, because we have to deal with not only wrongful convictions, but we're also looking at the abuses and deprivations, the provocations, the harassments, and all these things that go on in the prisons today. And we have no one overseeing. There's no oversight over the Department of Corrections throughout the country. Every state is run differently. Unfortunately, every situation, every problem, every abuse, every deprivation is the same in every state. But every state is operated differently. One of the things that I'd like to see happen one of these days is for everyone to come together and try to demand that every country run the same way. I mean, every state in this country run the same way. This is not the United States of Africa, where there's different countries. This is the United States of America, where there's different states.
Yes.
But they're all on one continent. It should be run differently. Unfortunately, politicians today are not looking at these things. Our government is so uneducated when it comes to the truth. And what they need to do is go into the prisons, and they need to talk with these prisoners directly, especially when there's a wrongful conviction or a first-time offense.
Yes.
They need to go in, and they need to talk to these prisoners. The media, I fault the media because the media needs to get more involved. They need to be going into the prisons and getting the facts before they report. They report one-sided stories when, in most cases, there are two and sometimes three sides to every story. So Bertha is one of many in this country who is going through so much injustice. It's pathetic.
Yes. You know, I wish if you all could give Mrs. Cooperman and Mrs. Madeline, and maybe even myself or whomever, I'm willing to volunteer whatever, some radio time that we can also, you know, share in this conversation.
I'm right here.
Is Mrs. Cooperman here?
No, this is Jeanette. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, this is Jeanette Cooperman. I'm in that media group, but I'm the one who wrote
Jeanette,
the story.
Can you introduce yourself? As you come on, can you introduce yourselves to the audience so they know who...
Sure. My name's Jeanette Cooperman. I was a staff writer at St. Louis Magazine, and Bertha's story was a travesty. I could not believe the injustice of that case. I completely agree with you that states need to be consistent and held to the same standard, but she had a prosecutor who was completely corrupt. And, you know, that can happen anywhere, but it was obvious. I actually communicated with the woman who was the only evidence against her and who admitted to me online that she lied. And I have sent that information on to anybody who was interested in Bertha's case, but so far still no results. Anyway, Bertha should not be in prison.
You know, I want to say one thing as well, as far as the audience goes, and also all of you on this line. It doesn't take much if everyone just starts contacting the state reps and demanding that someone go in and talk with these prisoners. An incident happened in Massachusetts at Sousa Baranowski Correctional Center where there was a riot that took place between some guards and some inmates. They transferred the inmates out of that prison. Some of the inmates had to go to the hospital. After that, they went on a rampage, and they went through the whole prison with unprovoked attacks on prisoners. Some prisoners got their noses broken, their faces messed up, they were hospitalized. Some prisoners thrown in the hole naked with no clothing, no reading or writing materials. These things go on. The media is not going into the prison, and the politicians went in a few times unannounced. Lawyers are going in. These are the injustices that go on in these prisons. And the media, I fault them. I fault a lot of these politicians that don't want to get involved. The people have got to write to their state reps and demand that they do more about going into the prison and speaking with these prisoners who are being accused, wrongfully convicted, those who are in for first-time offenses, those who were victimized before becoming offenders. And I think that this is what we need to do. On their behalf, we need to promote and we need to recruit people to join committees. It doesn't cost anything to bring your friends in, to bring family members in, to bring anyone in that you can, to start around the country, to start writing to these and emailing them and calling them and demanding that they start going in and really meeting with the prisoners. The media, find every media outlet, contact them and say, ask them why they're reporting things that they haven't gotten the full facts on. Why don't they go in and meet with these prisoners? This is not going to take anything but a phone call, email, or a letter. We can do it. Success in numbers, and that's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
I would also like to say, too, about this crime, how so many people out there know of this crime and know that I sit here innocent and will not come forward.
Right,
so
the real killer.
We have a lot of people right now. We have a lot of people on right now that are on in your defense. And we have another caller.
This is LaCrista. Mm-hmm. A friend of Bertha's. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think that it's horrible that Bertha is just in prison while the real killer is still running at large.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly.
If you were to read this transcript and the policeman, I believe his name was Harper, who investigated this homicide or whatever you want to call it, this young lady, according to the things that were supposed to have been evidence, she was the one that had her hands on it. She's the one that she claimed that these guys said they destroyed it, who was her boyfriend. The transcript, if I could share the transcript, and anyone that could read through this transcript would see and actually see her as being the most likely the perpetrator.
Okay, we have another caller on with us as well. This right now we're lit up with everybody's calling in. Who else is on with us? Can you introduce yourself?
Hello.
Pardon?
Yes. My name is Bonnie K. I'm one of Bertha's friends. I keep her grandson. And it's just a shame that the system is the way that it is. And for some people, it's just a business, prison is. And they don't care whether a person is guilty or innocent. They just look at it as being money, you know. And it's just sad that the system is the way it is. And we as the people that vote certain people in, we need to stand together, like you said, and go and talk to our congressmen, our senators, you know, all those who make the rules for this country, and, you know, just stand firm on, you know, them doing what is right, and investigating the people that are doing wrong so that they will do what is right. Because once the people get out, you know, they can't get the lives back. They can't get the time that they lost back. You know,
exactly.
No money in the world will make up for the time that they lost with their loved ones. It's just too much injustice in this world today, and that we just all need to come together in unity and just stand up for what is right. Because just think, it's Bertha, it's our loved one, but it could be your loved one. You know what I'm saying? And I know that there are some people that do vicious things, but everyone in prison is not a bad person. They may have committed a crime, but, you know, You can't treat them like they're nothing because they are, you know, and they do have people that love and care about them. So,
and,
you know,
the thing is, a lot of people think that other people are making the calls, and they feel that their one call doesn't make a difference. But it does. Indeed, it does, because every call makes a difference. And while we're thinking someone else may be making that call, they may be thinking the same thing, and no calls are going through. So we want to encourage people to do what they have to do, call or write or email the politicians. Emails, you can get their addresses, their email addresses, their phone numbers, right on the Internet. Type in the name, type in Missouri government, legislators or whatever you have to do.
And, you know, it's sad that the only time they want to do something is when election time comes and, you know, they need our vote. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this world is just too corrupt. It's just corrupt from the head to the bottom. It's just corruption everywhere.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else on the line? Bertha.
Yes.
I don't know how much time you have, but I'd like to have you. What do you think about all these supporters that have come on this line in the show here to advocate on your behalf? What do you think about this? And they're still coming in. I don't even have enough space to add something.
Well, it just warms my heart because this was one of my prayers that my cousin, who has been with me through all of this, my friend Bonnie and my friend LaCrista and Denise and Ms. Cooperman. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. So I can imagine how they feel, because I know how I'm feeling sitting here, you know, being apart from them. So, again, you know, I would just like to say to those that are out there that know of this crime, the young lady, Carla Phillips, who told me about the crime, you know, all they got to do is just come forth, you know, and help get me released from this place.
Hello. Yes,
okay.
I'd like to ask a question. Is there a way that we can get a recording of this interview?
Well, it'll be on
and
the
maybe
internet.
A I'm sorry.
It will be on the internet. You'll be able to type in Bertha's name, and you'll be able to click on the interview, and anyone can listen to it. I can find out about recording. I would have to check on that because I haven't had to do that before. But
they
can actually go on the Internet.
Yes, the reason I'm asking that, especially on my behalf, is that I'm not all that technologically literate. But, you know, being at the age that I am, you know, I didn't come through the era of, you know, of technology and all the different apparatuses that we have. But if it was recorded in some kind of way that it can be given where maybe it can be heard by a large group of people at one time, where maybe something could be done. I do intend to participate in a meeting that my congressman, my state representative, is going to have. I believe it's March the 22nd of this month. And if I had something like that now, I don't know if that's going to be one of the platform discussions, but I still can bring it and maybe let someone or all of them, if he will allow it to be heard, to listen to what's taking place. And that's one step right there. And I can make copies and distribute it to the other congressmen where they can all have it. And it will be left up to them whether they do something, because they can't say that they haven't received it, because I can send it to them where they have to sign off on the mail.
Well, they can also go on the Internet and type in Blog
Talk
Radio.
They're not going to do that.
I have an email. You can send me an email at NVO, Nancy Victor Oscar, PRES at Verizon.net. Or at gmail.com.
Well, if somebody have that, I'm in traffic right now. I'm at work.
I'm trying to do a radio interview before we lose Bertha. So if you can check back with somebody, Madeline Colburn or me later. But right now we have other people that also want to say something, and Bertha has a limited time with us. So can we go with the next caller? Anyone else that wants to say anything?
My name is Vicky Stratton, and Bertha is my cousin, and we grew up as sisters. I know that's not what they're saying she did. It's not even in her character. They need to release her, because I believe they have did the wrong thing by locking her up. She's missed out on so much family stuff, and I miss her very much.
Thank you. Thank you for that. One of the things we are all in agreement is that she was wrongfully convicted. What we have to do now is try to find out from birth what it was like and where we're going with all of this from here on in. She does have legal representation now, which is awesome. And as far as the progress that she has made while incarcerated, Bertha, can you talk a little bit more about that again for those who didn't hear you before?
Well, before I go into that, I would like to say that the team of people that have stepped in to assist me, if the family member can get with them, I can provide the information that they can get with them and try to assist them in what they're trying to assist me with to bring me out of here. That would be a plus. But since I've been in this institution, I have really tapped into my gifts that lay dormant of sewing, my sewing skills. I have mastered my sewing skills. One of my supervisors told me I was a journeyman because I've mastered the skill. So I just didn't sit in here and become idle. I began to tap into the things that God had originally intended for me to tap into. So I just want people to know that I'm not just sitting in here twiddling my thumbs. I am becoming a better me. So when I'm released, I can be all that I need to be for my family to assist them in what they're going through.
Can you tell me some of the barriers that you have encountered while being in prison?
Oh, my God. Well, for one, I have been thrown into the hole a couple of times, stripped, butt naked, put on suicide watch because people thought I was going to take my life because of my faith, because I have been confessing and will still confess and declare my innocence and me coming out of this prison until I come out. But I have been put in the hole years ago, two different times, stripped but naked and put with a vest on because people thought I was crazy.
The crazy ones are many of the overseers who believe because they're in uniform they have the right to deprive and provoke and harass and abuse prisoners. Those are the crazy ones that need to be looked at. And people need to realize that the people that are overseeing are human beings just like anyone else, and they can be criminal-like as well.
And I also want to say that the person that lied on me ended up being in this prison. Her and her sister was both in this prison, and still that was not enough for the wrong they had done to me, but then turned around and had me to sign an enemy waiver. LaShawn Nicole had me sign an enemy waiver so she could go to Chillicothe. So it's just been one thing after another. I ended up getting a letter from who I believe Felicia Jones wrote a letter asking me to forgive her when all of this first happened.
Do you still have the letter?
I do not still have the letter, but I do believe that a copy of the letter was put into my file that Charlie Snyder had. And when she recanted the first time, she signed that she wrote the letter. And she also wrote a letter to my co-defendants as well. One of them he died in the prison, but the other one, preferably he is still fighting to prove his innocence.
Okay. So, you mentioned you had a couple of sons?
Yes, I have two sons.
And you still maintain contact with them?
I haven't spoke with them in a while, but I have two sons and a daughter.
Okay.
And nine grandchildren.
Wow. So you have.
So I have missed out on. I've missed out on all of that. I've missed out on my daughter getting married, her having her children, my sons having their children. I've missed out on all of that. I've missed out on people crossing over, people dying, and my cousin Willie is the oldest and the only one of that generation that's left.
Optima has an A-plus rating with the Better Business.
You know, it's so sad because so many prisoners have also lost their parents. They've lost their siblings. They've lost so many people while they've been incarcerated. Many of them don't get to go to the funeral and be with the family as if they were on the outside. And these are some things, too, especially when you're wrongfully convicted and family members are dying off and you don't have that opportunity to be with them, to mourn with the family.
I lost a sibling. I lost a brother since I've been in here. And it's hard because you don't get that closure. You know, you don't get that closure.
How does that make you feel?
Roberta, this is Vicky again, and I do know you will be released in God's name. You will still be released, and we miss you so much. I miss all the crazy things we did together, like going to family gatherings and just really hanging out together. Like I said, I know that you didn't do this, and you will be released with God's word.
Yes.
And I hope you will be one of them that will make these calls to the politicians and try to get others to do it. You know, even if you contact the media, bombard the media with the request to go in and meet with these prisoners, to meet with them and get the truth before they report the so-called facts they never really get.
I want Bertha to know that I will be doing all of that. I will do all I can to help her get released.
Okay, then. All right.
And I want to thank you. So we have others. Does anyone else on the line want to say anything to Bertha while she's on with us?
I just want to tell you that I love you, Bertha, and that I'm praying for you, and honey, keep strong because you know God got you.
Yeah. I just want to say, Bertha, that you will be released in the name of Jesus. And also, Leona, I wanted to ask about a peaceful, like, picket line or some kind of gathering outside of the courthouse. Do you think that that would be a good thing to do?
Anything you feel moved to do, do it.
I think, Bertha, one of the things you may want to do prior to doing anything sometimes is to check with your attorney, because I know there's certain times when attorneys don't want to see things happening for a certain reason.
Uh-huh.
And it's good to always check with the attorney prior to having any of these things done. You know, picket lines sometimes are good, and the attorney might not have a problem with it, but at the same time, it can get ugly, and that can get into something that the attorney may be doing. Unfortunately, a lot of times when people try to do peaceful protest or whatever, it can turn into something more, because you're always going to have resistance no matter what you do. We see that happening every day, and unfortunately, when there's peaceful protest, there's always someone in the crowd that's going to try to make it a little bit worse than it should be.
Okay.
I'd like to know if any of the attorneys that are working on her behalf right now is present.
No attorney is on the line with us. And at some point in time, I'm sure that they will be in speaking on her behalf in the media with her. But according to Bertha, this is just recent that she became involved with this law firm. Is that right, Bertha?
Yes. Since December, and they just came to visit me on last Friday.
You know, another thing that everyone might want to do is contact Van Jones. Contact John Legend. Contact Brian Stevenson. Contact Loretta Lynch. Contact some of these people that right now are interested in advocating for prison reform, and perhaps they can even do your story and be of help in some way. But these are the people that you really want to contact. It's better than protest at this point in time, anyway, to contact people that are in favor of all of these things.
Okay. Junior, what you was finna say?
No, I just wanted to, really my main concern at this point is I would just like to have a copy of this, you know, of this interview And I think that I will be able to distribute as much of it as I possibly can to a lot of the politicians in the St. Louis area.
Okay, yes, as I said, we can connect.
Again, I will do all I can to help you.
We can connect at a different time and maybe find out how we can do this, and it would be good for me as well.
Okay, my number is 314-368-1104. 314-368-1104.
Okay, so and what's your first name?
My first name is Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E.
Okay, Willie Wilson.
Wilkes, W-I-L-K-E-S.
Oh, okay, Willie Wilkes. Okay, Willie, yes. I will get in contact with you briefly, maybe after the show, and then we can work out a way to get the audio.
If you will, the afternoon would be a better time for you to reach me.
Afternoon? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I have to get off now. Half an hour is up.
Bertha, it was an honor having you on, and we will have you back on for an update probably within the next few weeks, and Madeline Colburn can get in contact with you, or you can call me, and I can let you know.
Okay.
And thank your caseworker for allowing you to call in and for help to set this up.
Yes, thank you.
Right.
Thank you for having me on the show. Love you
been
guys. An honor. Thank y'all.
Love you too.
Thank
Bertha.
You all.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
Sure. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now anyone that wants to speak can speak. We have plenty of time. We have another half hour. We have other people on the air, too. So who else would like to speak briefly about it?
I would. This is Vicki again. I spoke before. I wanted Bertha to know that we're all fighting for her, and my kids are fighting, too. They miss her. They're asking more about her. Have I heard from her? And all that, especially Tabuzi. That was Bertha's favorite cousin of mine, of my kids. She even gave her that name.
Okay. And who else do we have on with us? We have Vicki, we have Willie, and there's one other person now that's on with us. Others have dropped.
At this time, I'm going to have to go to work, but I appreciate all of everyone's effort, and I would like for us to continue this fight for Bertha, and have a blessed day.
You too. It was nice meeting you and on the air. We hope you'll be on with us in the future as well.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry to butt in. This is Vicki. I would like for you to call me, too, and give me more information. My number is 314-226-8265. Again, I'm Vicki, and the number is 314-226-8265. Feel free to call me anytime so that anything I can do, I will be doing it.
Okay, Vicki, what is your last name?
Stratton. That's S-T-R-A-T-T-O-N.
Okay, and what's a good time to call you?
Call me anytime, day or night.
Okay, maybe in the afternoon, too, or evening, early
evening.
They'll
be fine, too.
And you are Vicki's cousin?
I'm Bertha's cousin.
I'm sorry, Bertha's cousin. Okay.
Like I said before, we were more like sisters.
Okay, again, Vicki, if you can try to recruit people as well, try to form a committee on behalf of Bertha Owens, and try to use this committee to advocate in letter writing. I have a Facebook page. It's a letter writing campaign for the abused and deprived, and people can actually go on there. But to go on and get the names and addresses of politicians that you can actually contact, have everyone contact and ask them to actually go in and get involved in some of these cases of the wrongful convicted or the first-time offenders or the abuses that go on in the prisons. Whatever they can do to help would be good.
Yes, can I have their website?
Now, we also have someone else. We have a couple more callers on. I don't know if they're just on to listen or if they have something to say. But if you have something to say, please introduce yourself and let us know what your theory is on this or what your opinion is on this. We have a lot of noise in the background as well. Hello? No, I keep getting the wrong one. I'm trying to cut off the one that's having the... Okay, it's done. Okay, so is there anyone else on that would like to say something? Because I'm going to be talking a little bit about the injustices in the prisons myself. As an advocate, I founded New Vision Organization in 2004. We did advocacy work for the incarcerated men, women, and youth nationwide. I stepped down in 2014 because I was really burnt out. The people that took it over ended up registering it out in California under a new tax exempt, a 501c3. From that point on, when I learned about that, I got my end back up again. In Massachusetts only, though, I'm only advocating for the incarcerated lifers, those serving life without parole, and those whose civil rights are being violated. We have a problem in this country today where there's so much injustice, people being accused wrongfully, lies, tampering of evidence by prosecutors. We have so much corruption in the courts with judges. We have so much corruption with law enforcement. And we need to actually stop making these calls to politicians around the country. Because as it stands now, there have been many prisoners who have committed suicides nationwide. There have been many people that have committed homicides, either because of the increase in bullying around the country, or because of the racial issues, or because of self-defense, or because of wrongful convictions. We need to do more about it. As I said, there's so many people that think that others are making these calls, and they're not making the calls. So we're asking you, the public, we're asking the audience, we're asking anyone out there to stop making calls. Don't assume that others are doing it. Again, we have a Facebook page. It's called Letter Writing Advocates for the Abused and Deprived. Go to that website. Join the website. Make the calls. Learn more about the addresses, emails, telephone numbers of your representatives around the country. Be a part of making change, positive change, and always keep in mind that those who are overseeing our loved ones, those who are overseeing the incarcerated men, women, and youth, are just as human as all of us, and they are capable, and many are able, to be out there abusing, depriving, and letting the public know these people incarcerated are like animals. It's not so. Those overseeing prisoners who are already paying their dues for a crime they may or may not have committed, are already suffering. They do not need overseers with criminal-like minds to be abusing them further and judging them. These things can happen in your own family. It's like lightning. It can happen any day, any time, anywhere, and happen to anyone. We never know when it's going to hit home. So don't assume that your situation is never going to be in the same situation as those that you are hearing from on this line, in this studio, because it can happen to you. When there's a disaster or there's crime in a community and everyone says, oh, this is a good area, this never happens here. I grew up in a good area on Cape Cod, and it never happened there, but it did happen. And sometimes people from the city can go to these little countries, and they have all their experiences in disaster from coming from the city, and they can bring that disaster right to a country, and it can affect someone vulnerable. It can affect someone that has no knowledge of the experiences that person has. There are a lot of people that think they can get away with what they do because they come from money or prominent backgrounds, wealthy families, and a lot of these wealthy families are getting away with it. We have a governor here in Massachusetts whose son committed a crime on a plane. That plane landed. There was no more mention of it after they took him away. There was a lawyer on Cape Cod years ago whose daughter stabbed her husband to death. They put her in a psych ward for an evaluation. You can't even find her on the internet now. The lawyer himself moved off the Cape and is practicing in another state. We have so much out there that has so much power that they can get away with it. Their loved ones don't get accused. They don't even get to face a trial, a judge. These are things that come from poverty-stricken areas, middle-class areas, where they are the ones that suffer the most, the families and their loved ones. I want to also say for those who have lost loved ones, whether it be through crime, whether it be through natural disaster, whether it be through natural sicknesses, whether it be through wars, because we have so many people in other countries who have lost their lives, innocent people, because of unnecessary wars that have been started. Again, I've traveled 11 third world countries. I've been in countries from the East Coast all the way to Africa, and I have seen so much injustice going on across the country, across the world. Although we are being taught that people in other countries are violent, I have seen the hospitality. I have seen the Christianity. I have seen the love in these countries. And I have also heard that the things that are being mentioned in this country are not always what they are seen to be. There have been many, many people who have lost their lives, and their loved ones have lost their lives because of ignorance, because of hatred, because of racism, because of whatever it might be. So let's try to come together in unity across the country to try to make a positive change, to try to bring about some things that can be humane instead of inhumanity. There is so much violence out there, and we need to do it in numbers, because if we don't do it in numbers, just like these politicians, you've seen them all dwindle down from so many politicians running for president to down to three. And that's what's going to happen. If we don't come together and we don't try to make a change, it's going to keep dwindling down until there's no hope, once again, for those that are already hopeless and feeling already helpless. I have started New Vision Organization in Massachusetts up again, and it's only in Massachusetts, but it's a virtual volunteer organization. People from all over the country can join, and they can make a difference, not only for Massachusetts, but for their own states, by making calls, by joining and being a part of it. We can form committees from around the country, all over the country. Even though it's a Massachusetts organization right now, we can still do it for other countries. Virtual volunteer. We don't get funding. What we do is we recruit through Volunteer Match, United Way, and all these places where we can recruit volunteers. And we get volunteer students. We get volunteer individuals who want to get the experience, those who have loved ones inside, those who just want to see positive change. So I invite all of you to form a committee or join New Vision Organization, and maybe we can form a committee through this one. And then we can start doing some good. I want to tell all of those who have lost loved ones again, through whatever it may have been, we know that God has a purpose for everything, and sometimes all things work out for the good. So we have to keep in mind that even though we have lost loved ones, there's going to be change. There is going to be change at some point in time. It can't go on the way it is. So I encourage all of you that have lost loved ones to keep up the spirit, keep praying to God for forgiveness for the person or the people that may have done it. And also keep in mind that there are so many falsely accused that sometimes you might have hatred for the wrong people. And there are so many that were victims before becoming offenders. Look at their past. Try to understand what they may have gone through, because the support has not been out there. We have a government that's throwing everyone in prison and locking up the prison doors and throwing away the key, rather than to put those who are suffering from mental or psychological issues into long-term residential treatment programs for the mentally ill or the psychologically dysfunctional. We have so many people in prison that are serving life and life without parole for addictions, which we know they can put them in long-term residential substance abuse treatment programs and get the help that they need, the appropriate help, not the abuses. And we know that they can have those who are in for anger, that they can be establishing anger management, long-term residential anger management programs for these prisoners where they're getting the right help. And those who are addicted, those who are angry, those who are wrongfully convicted even, and those who are first-time offenders, when they are on addictions, you have to look at, or even anger, we have to look at their past. What did they go through? Many of them have been abused as children, either sexually abused or physically, psychologically abused. We have to look at what caused them to fall. And we also have to realize that God has lambs amongst the wolves within the prisons and outside the prisons. So we can't judge. What we need to do is try to make a difference with those who have fallen. We have to try to help them, no matter what, or we're just as bad. There was a politician who started to sponsor a bill to eliminate life and life without parole. And he was repaid by someone in the communities that sent a death threat. Now, when I looked and heard about this, the first thing I thought about was, this is someone that's supposed to be so righteous, yet they're doing something very criminal. They're sending someone a death threat because that person is trying to do the right thing. But instead, that person put it on hold. So we need to look at these things, too. We need to look at who the real perpetrators are. Now, I'm going to go back to the couple that are on the line right now to get their opinion on what was just said. Now, do we have someone that wants to say something that's with us now?
Yes, this is Vicki again. I would like to say something. I believe in everything you're saying, and that I will, under God's will, do anything I can to help not only Bertha, anybody else that comes up that's in there for unjust or wrongness.
Okay, Vicki, we will talk. We definitely will talk. Because, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there, they claim to be Christians, that feel that all they need to do is pray. But as it says in the Bible, faith without works is dead, is null. And what happens now is so many people are out there judging without knowing all the facts. So many people are out there saying they're praying, and half of them I don't think even pray. There's so many people that are saying things and not doing. And God uses his servants through prayer and also through action. So for these Christians out there that are talking about what they do, they need to read the Bible further. Because, again, in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 20, it says that anyone that says they love God whom they cannot see, yet hates a brother or sister whom they can see, is a liar. People have to look at
these.
They also have to look at 1 Timothy. They have to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 on. It talks about the critical times hard to deal with are here today. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, when it talks about all scripture is inspired of God and is beneficial for teaching, reproving, setting things straight, and disciplining in righteousness. People need to read the book of Daniel chapter 10, Revelation chapter 17, 18, and 19, where it talks about these final days. It talks about everything that's happening right now. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, 7 on, it talks about in the final days. People think they know it all because they listen to pastors and priests, but what they need to do is learn the Bible themselves. They need to seek and search. Because when we fall, when we're at our lowest peak, when we're down on our knees, that's when we're praying to God. That's when we're seeking and searching. We're reading the Bible scriptures over and over and over again to find out why this is happening to us. That's what everyone needs to do before they get down on their knees, because they're going to be brought to their knees just like in one of us. They will be brought down to their knees because God wants everyone to seek him. And if they're not seeking him in the right way, he's going to make sure that they do. Whether it be through tragedy in their own situation, their loved one's situation, someone close to them, whatever it may be. And all these people, innocent people throughout the world, who have been fallen, who have been killed unnecessarily through wars, and there are so many. Cultures and religion, something I've been studying for years. And I'll tell you, this country has a problem because they know nothing about other cultures. Again, I say social workers, and I was a social worker. I am a former social worker for years. But if you go to school to become a social worker and they don't teach you about cultures in the schools, then you might as well not even get out there unless you've been through it. You've been there and back. Because cultures is what you're going to be dealing with. You're going to be going into the homes of families of different cultures. And cultures not only in races, but cultures in the way the family units are composed. You're going to be going into dysfunctional homes. And most social workers coming out of college are coming out from prominent homes, prominent backgrounds, primarily Caucasian, never having a marriage, never having children, never having experiences. How can you help someone that you have not even known how to experience or have not had the experience? Substance abuse counselors, they say substance abuse counselors make the best because they've been there. Those who have been there, those who were substance addicted and overcame, those are the ones that want to teach. Those are the ones that want to help. Those are the ones that people can relate to. So each and every one of you on this audience and on this radio station right now that is listening and speaking, you don't have to have that piece of paper. You don't have to have that degree. Because I can assure you, if you're on this line with us right now, if you're talking, and Vicky just spoke, and Mr. Wilson just spoke, Willie, these are people that have been there. They know, they understand, I'm sure. Because anyone of any race, of culture, that has been through kinds of hatred because of the pigmentation on their skin, or because of the background that they grew up in, whether it be the area that they grew up in, and many have grown up in ghettos, many have grown up in poverty-stricken areas, many have grown up in well-to-do areas. Whatever the case may be, a lot of them have been through exactly what Bertha Owens is going through and what so many others are going through unnecessarily. So when we look at these prisoners, we have to try to think of how did we fit in their incarceration? Were we part of it? Were we ignorant of the fact that they needed our support and we didn't give it to them? Cultures mean a lot. Cultures mean a lot. Adolescents out in the streets today who have no role models, because there are no role models anymore. Those adolescents, those kids in the streets, in their own homes, the youth that are so misinformed, that are so confused, those are the ones that can be reached out to. We need to look at all of these situations. We need to look at our neighbors. And when it says in the Bible to love thy neighbor, it doesn't mean just the person next door to you or the person on the same street or the person in the same town. It means love your neighbors throughout the world. We need to do something about these things. Now, Vicky, do you or any others on this show right now want to say something? We have a couple of minutes left if you'd like to add anything to what I've already said.
I would just like to thank you for taking the time out, you know, to let Bertha come on, let us come on. And, you know, we need more people like you that have a caring heart and that are concerned about the injustices that are being done throughout the world. And I just, you know, pray that God will continue to bless you with much success. Everything that your hand touches, I pray that it will be blessed.
Thank you so much, Vicky, but you know it's not me, and I'm going to say this. I've gotten to the point throughout the years where I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what people think about anything as long as it's some kind of justice. And a lot of people in the communities today are afraid to make a move because they're afraid of what their peers are going to say. They're afraid of what other people are going to think about them. And until they can separate themselves from the world and think about the godly things to do, and think about their own independence instead of depending on their peers, depending on their relatives, depending on their friends, depending on their government. You know, I went off on a politician one day, and I did. I wrote a letter after that apologizing. And I said I really was sorry because it wasn't something I usually do. But I also let him know that if he didn't accept my apology, at least I regained my dignity. I regained my dignity because I'm the type of person that loves everyone, that feels for everyone, that will help anyone I can. And a lot of prisoners inside are the same way if they've been given the chance.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we just need to be more kind-hearted and loving towards one another, not tear each other down, you know, build each other up, you know?
Exactly. And on those words, I'm going to let the audience know what Vicky just said, I hope all of you take to heart. We have to lift everyone up. We can't be tearing everyone down because whether we like it or not, we're on this earth. It's a unified earth. It's all diversions, all different, a variety of races, a variety of colors. That's what makes the world beautiful. You look at flowers of all different colors, animals of all different colors. Why can't humans of all different colors be accepted with one another? So I hope everyone will join us next week when we do come back on same time. We're going to have with us next week Judy. We're going to have Judy Pickens on with us again, and I hope everyone will join in. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you, whoever else is
on
this line that I didn't get to hear from. And we are now shutting down. Thank you so much, Vicki.
All right. All right.
Okay,
hey, Vicki, it's Bonnie.
Take care of yourself. Hey, Bonnie. How you doing?
Hey, okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.